Now, if you're into ancient history, no doubt you're aware of the second Sphinx that was posited by Filippo Biondi on Matt Bell's Limitless podcast. And this has been really good for the community. Whether or not the second Sphinx actually exists, people have been doing solid research into other aspects of the Sphinx than they normally do. For example, the second Sphinx that was supposedly made of mud brick that existed about 1,000 years ago but was already almost destroyed then, something you really didn't hear people talking about very much until recently. Another thing is the dualistic nature that we see of the Sphinx in Egyptian iconography. This is something that some people talked about, but not nearly as many as now. Or the limitations of synthetic aperture radar, previous limitations, something I was completely unaware of until this whole thing came up. But one of the things that's really interesting about this is the way that the mainstream debunking community has responded to this. Because Filippo Biondi is in the Team Graham Hancock, the debunkings have been vapid and without substance. And one of the saddest, worst examples of this to me is Milo Rossi, because I used to have a lot of respect for the man. And his video was horrible. So I'm going to make sure and, you know, I'm going to out-twink the twink. I've got my bling. I've got my fancy Nordstrom t-shirt here, and I'm going to look like a... I'm going to look like the guy that's, you know, trying to pick up 22 chicks in 3 nights at the local bar instead of the guy who's remembers when he was 22. Anyway, strap yourselves in because I'm going to show you the worst attempt at a debunking video that you've ever seen in your entire life. Hi, my name's Dan and welcome to Dedunking.
p.m. somewhere. How's it going, everybody, and welcome back to another video.
Yeah, this is being played at 1.5 times normal speed, and it's still going to be a long video. And it's vapid right out the gate. And sadly, these jokes are really the best part of his content.
Haven't even started the video, and I'm already sweaty and covered in beer. Par for the course for 2:08 on a Wednesday, but at least this time the camera's rolling.
Sweaty and covered in beer? Wow, imagine that. Me too. Can we talk about the Sphinx yet?
Durr.
What are we talking about today? A couple weeks ago, a viewer sent me an article from the New York Post called Second Sphinx Buried Under Sand Suggests Megastructure Below the Pyramids of Giza. I don't know why I expected the New York Post to tell me anything worth reading, and all I could think of was, oh, god damn it happened again.
Spirals.
What are we talking about again? You know, these spirals have been a big talking point in the community since they've first been brought up. And they haven't always been agreed on by many big-name people. For example, Christopher Dunn expressed skepticism, saying they seemed a little too good to be true. Jimmy Corsetti said that the water table was too high and that this really made these things not very feasible. I myself made a video covering the topic, and in it, I expressed skepticism as well. But, you know, you don't really have to portray that accurately. You probably shouldn't, as a matter of fact, if you're going to be attacking the community, because you kind of need us to look like, you know, as bad as humanly possible. I mean, and this thing's already a fringe finding in the fringe community. It's like double minge.
See, like, once a year, like clockwork, the mainstream media will pick up some really stupid archaeology conspiracy theory that will suddenly become way more popular than any actual archaeology that happened that year. And me, as well as every other archaeology science communicator, has to begrudgingly come out of the woodwork and say something about it.
But you don't say anything about this, though. Your entire video is devoid of proper factual information. And as we're going to see, you actually replace good info with bad. You make your people dumber by osmosis as they watch your video. They're losing IQ points like a freaking player character in Gauntlet. This is a clear cash grab on your part, Milo. Lots of your colleagues are lazy as hell about this one, but you were by far the laziest.
You probably remember the example of this from like last year, where, you know, researchers found the 2 kilometer tall structures underneath Khafre's pyramid. That story was spread by every gullible moron on the planet to the point where I ended up having to go on Piers Morgan to talk about it.
Yes or no, UFOs have visited Earth and governments are keeping it secret.
Sounds cool, man.
That thing still haunts my nightmares.
And there's your smoking gun proof that Milo doesn't just dream about me. He also already knows that Jimmy Corsetti wasn't a true believer in this freaking scan stuff.
Jimmy Corsetti, your response to that?
Well, hello, Piers. Thank you for having me on. I actually agree with Flint on many of these points, which is rather interesting because I'm actually a proponent or believer that the pyramids of Giza were not actually built for the purpose of being tombs. However, when I've looked into the details of this study, I was happy to hear Flint bring up one of my talking points from a post that went viral yesterday involving the water table under Giza. And that's something that was not included in this study whatsoever. It actually starts approximately 15 meters or 49 feet down and can extend hundreds of feet below the plateau. So are we really going to pretend that this use of technology would not in any way be influenced by a massive water table below the ground?
But to Milo's mind, or at least the way he portrays it to his audience, we're a monolith. So he ignores Jimmy Corsetti's disagreement here and pretends that every swinging dick in the community believes what Biondi says about these scans. Disingenuous right out the gate.
So when I saw this, I was like, God damn it, not only did this happen again, but also, God damn it, it's in the exact same place as last time. And the moment that I opened this article, I realized why. The reason that this year's clickbait mainstream brain rot is in the same place as last year's clickbait mainstream brain rot is because they were both published by the same fucking guy. That's right, everyone, Filippo Biondi is back for another fucking masterpiece of research, this time with something a little bit less stupid than what he was talking about last year, but still something that absolutely reeks of Filippo's signature bullshit.
Notice he said this is less out there than the findings from last year? That's because he's not really attacking these findings. He's attacking the man. He's attacking Biondi. Now, Milo doesn't even disagree with Biondi's methods and thinks that his synthetic aperture radar technique is viable and proper and good. He just disagrees with the interpretation that it's a Sphinx, portraying it to the public through podcasts, and for some reason, archaeologists weren't consulted first or so. I don't really understand how he gets so butthurt over that part, but that's part of it too. But that's the whole issue here. It's really not about, he doesn't think that there isn't anything there. As a matter of fact, as we'll see, he thinks there is something. He thinks Biondi found something and he's still beating him up over this because he doesn't like the fact he went on a podcast. That's really what this comes down to.
So in this video, we're going to be doing a couple things. We're going to go over this discovery as a whole, have a little look at what different people are saying about it and how the misinformation human centipede has been treating this research, and finally take a more critical look at this story to see if this is something that is in the far-flung realms of science fiction or if there's actually a nugget of truth worth exploring beneath the clickbait facade. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Milo Rossi, and today we're going to be talking about the second Sphinx.
Milo will do neither of these. He will get on Google, ask questions to the AI, and we'll watch. That's exactly what he does in this video. That has over a million views. This guy got paid thousands of dollars to not do research and upload it. Team Science.
All right, so I'm gonna be totally honest, y'all. I really don't know all that much about this. By the time I was sent this article, I had already seen this thing posted like all over the place, and I was just trying to like plug my ears and hope that it would go away. And when I resigned myself to the inevitability that I had to talk about it, I decided that I was going to wait to read these articles fully until I was on camera. Partly because I think it would be a lot more funny to capture my real reaction to them, and more importantly, because I just really, really didn't want to do this twice.
Now, like I said, he doesn't really know shit about this or give a shit about this. I mean, his job is debunking pseudo-archaeology for a living. And in Atlantis and ancient aliens and all that shit's like top of the list for him. And Egypt is top of the list of places that those, you know, different theories, hypotheses cite. And Milo debunks these for a living and he doesn't know the first thing about the Sphinx. It's okay. From Robert Schoch's proposed 10,000 year old Sphinx because of the erosion to Robert Bavall's proposed Leo-Sphinx correlation, to my proposed the Ben stone was chipped off of the outcrop of rock that is the Sphinx comes up in all kinds of different alternate hypotheses. But Milo doesn't know shit about it, as he just admitted. But, you know, I can't really blame him. If I was his age and had the resources he did, I would probably spend all my time doing blow and chasing chicks too. I mean, I'd have to drink like a fish. I mean, after putting on this shirt and these rings, I'm like, looking at myself is really, really hard right now.
So we're going to just start with this, where we're all pretty much on the same playing field, and then I'll get into the analysis later. Look, I'm just trying to stave off a day of research, okay?
Yes, we know, Milo. We all know.
Second Sphinx, buried under sand, suggests megastructure below the pyramids of Giza. Italian researchers claim that they might have found signs of a sphinx located beneath the pyramids of Giza, suggesting the existence of a sprawling subterranean citadel. You'll notice that the word researcher is probably going to be used a lot in here. This is because Filippo Boiondi and the others that he worked with, at least on the previous research, are all not archaeologists. This is not, of course, to say that people who don't have a background in archaeology can't have a voice in archaeology. It is instead to say that if you have no experience at all in archaeology and act like you know more than every archaeologist on the planet, chances are you're full of shit.
They are radar engineers, Milo. Radar scientists. You know, the SAR stands for Synthetic Aperture Radar. Now, I know this is hard to comprehend for people who don't really think about science, but it's probably a better idea to have the radar people look at the radar data than the archaeologists. I know, it's crazy. I mean, it's like if you have radiocarbon dating, you have the physicists that actually, like, do the radiocarbon dating, and you have the archaeologists. Now, who should interpret that data? I already know your answer. You archaeologists think you should. Here's a video about it. It's absolutely insane just how far off the scientific path these guys go while calling themselves science. It's absurd.
Radar engineer Filippo Biondi. You always know it's good when a major archaeological discovery was found by someone with a just completely random fucking superlative.
Random superlative? How the hell is radar engineer a random superlative when we're talking about radar data? See, this is what I mean. He did no research at all. As we'll see at the end of this video, he actually says, I don't even know what Filippo Biondi does for a living. Derp, derp, derp. It's like, look, dude, I know that you get paid whether or not you make a good video or a bad one anymore. But there was a time when Milo Rossi gave a shit whether or not his stuff actually made a proper impact or not. This was trash. You made people dumber, Milo. But you got paid, so who gives a shit, right? Why do you call everybody a grifter?
Radar engineer Filippo Boiondi dropped this alleged historical bombshell during a recent episode of the Matt Beal Limitless podcast. Oh my god.
Dude, we are so fucked. We are so fucked.
It's not Beal, it's Bell. When you walk into their office, this thing's hanging over one of the doorways, and these things are on the wall, and goes back to Ninian Bell back in the old days, a war hero, and I make a lot of mispronunciations too, but I know Matt, so it's easy for me to get his name right, but hard for me to understand why Milo would possibly think we're screwed because Matt is doing this sort of thing. It's the end of the world as we know it.
The Matt Beal Limitless podcast. The Daily Mail reported. Oh my god. I don't know what's a better reputable source. The Matt Beal Limitless podcast or the Daily Mail. What the fuck is the Matt Beal Limitless podcast? I've never even heard of this.
As I said earlier, Milo's done no research here. And this video's bad from start to finish. When he says he doesn't know which one's more reputable, he means it. Because he didn't even know which ones are the damn primary source. And this is absolutely absurd. But as an aside, it's really gross that guys like him will go out of their way and say, you know, Graham Hancock is ruining our perception of science. And it's like, Graham goes out and says, I'm not sure, and the experts disagree with me. Milo goes out there and says, I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty close to sure, and the experts agree with me. My information comes from the mainstream sources, the consensus. And then he just talks out his ass. That, to me, is much, much, much worse than Graham going around and saying, I disagree with the mainstream. Milo doesn't encourage you to dig into and fact-check him. Graham, by the very nature of his claims, encourages you to look into him.
Are you fucking kidding me? Ah, yes, behold, the reputable sources of the Daily Mail. Do you guys see how insane this is? Do you see how insane it is that I have to be talking about this? Like, you don't need me to explain this one to you guys, right? Like, this is ridiculous. We got the New York Post citing the Daily Mail, citing an 80,000 subscriber podcast channel on YouTube full of insane AI-generated thumbnail conspiracy content about Sasquatches and elongated skulls. And the video that all of this comes from has fucking 75,000 views. 75,000 views, and it warranted a publication in the goddamn New York Post.
Yeah, views are not indicative of the truth. And the fact is, we have a scientist claiming he found a new ancient Egyptian edifice. This is newsworthy. Oh, and did you catch that guy in the thumbnail there? That's the real Sasquatch, taint no lie.
Oh, Milo, it's not that deep, bro.
Anyone who has ever told you that the war against science is not that deep, this is where the fuck we are, guys. We've disbanded the National Academy of Science, scientists are literally fleeing the country, and actual newspapers are publishing actual articles rooted in this bullshit.
Now, these are not connected, Milo, I'm sorry. You know, the field of archaeology, especially when it comes to making its end conclusions, does not operate in a scientific manner. I mean, from the Sea Peoples to Clovis First to so many other things we can discuss, you guys just kind of say this is or this isn't, and you build a narrative, and then you call it science. And that's where we end up pushing against each other pretty hard. I don't have a problem with you calling some aspects of archaeology science. Calling your end result science is absolute nonsense. And you calling Filippo's position anti-science is actually really hilarious, because we can test if his hypothesis is true or not. All we got to do is go look. But rather than doing that, rather than paying or pushing or anything like that for it to happen, you just assume and attack. And beyond, he offers evidence, and he offers a reason for his evidence. We can confirm it or deny it in a manner that is scientific. What is unscientific about this? That the fucking Daily Mail reported it? Who cares? They report all kinds of shit. God, this is so stupid.
Whoa, what's up, guys? It's Milo, and I'm Sweaty. My alter ego, Sweaty Milo.
It's my alter ego, Sweaty Dan. God damn it! You fucking fat!
Okay, quick little thing I just wanted to add in here is, I know I didn't include any footage from this podcast in this episode, and I'm sure there'll be a few comments like, oh, Milo, come on, you're being way too harsh on the guy, give him a break. He asked, you know, he really grilled him, he asked a bunch of hard questions. But I want to counter that with saying that I don't care. This is the whole problem with, like, the modern, like, centrist just asking questions people. It doesn't matter if you bring a complete fraud onto your show and grill them with a bunch of questions, because you're platforming a complete fucking fraud. And as you can see, by the way, that the Matt Beal podcast is advertised and structured, it is very clearly implicitly promoting these ideas.
So out the gate, this is just wrong. Matt Bell's entire channel is fringy, but it also pushes back against any claims that are weird. In fact, Matt's got thousands of dollars worth of ancient Egyptian vases that may or may not be forgeries, and he's okay with that. He don't really care that much. Something Milo would know if he did a basic amount of research, but he didn't. What's worse, though, in my opinion, is the way that Milo says, don't platform bad ideas, don't listen to the bad guys, don't let the bad guys talk. And it's like, dude, okay, first of all, if you take something and you stifle it, it pops up with more strength. You don't believe me? Look at the reefers. When I was a kid, it was pretty rough to find the reefers. When I was a young adult, it was fairly easy, but it took some effort. You go to a dispensary, man. Nobody in your generation is going to prison for that shit, all right? Plenty of guys in my generation went to prison for that shit. Huge difference, because the fuel in the fire of the activism has been, for decades now, government overreach is bullshit, okay? It creates fervor. It creates righteousness to stand against. Let me give you another example of how important it is to shed the light of the reality of the world. Let the limelight shine on bullshit ideas. McCarthy, Joe McCarthy, McCarthyism, those anti-communist days, which I don't like communism, but I also am an American and totally believe in free speech, even if their speech is stupid. During the Joe McCarthy days, they didn't have that luxury. They just tossed your ass in a cell, or at least ruined your world if you were a card-carrying commie. And so it took public limelight, Joe giving the biggest possible stage of the time to make an ass of himself and to prove that his ideas were un-American. And what happened? Yeah, history shows what happened. See, Milo, the thing is, you should be knowing these things, good English. You should know these things, man. Honestly, there's no reason for you not to know these things since you study history. But instead of giving us actual research, you just gave us your political ideas. And the sad thing is you actually know that this is bullshit. If the shoe's on the other foot,
so if there's anyone still watching this who really rides hard for this theory, one, good on you. I'm glad you're still here. Congratulations on challenging what you've been taught.
So it's good to challenge what you've been taught if you're listening to Milo. If not, well, you should probably not even platform those guys. This isn't elitist at all, right? This isn't just absolutely insane. This is so crazy to me that he thinks he's the champion of the little guy or anything like that. But, you know, it does take work. But if you actually want to understand the people that are on the other side of the aisle or reach them in any meaningful sense, you have to engage with them in a meaningful sense. I know it's crazy.
Matt Beal is not someone with a scientific background inviting Boyan Dion in order to break down his theory and disprove it. He's a layman who knows that the success of his show is directly contingent on how sensationalized the bullshit is that he platforms.
Now, he shouldn't be trying to disprove it. He should be trying to evaluate it with his biases firmly in check. And you should know this, Milo. It's basic scientific stuff. But it doesn't matter because that's not how you operate. You misinform millions making videos like your one on the Baghdad Battery that you determined was bullshit out the gate. You didn't go into it researching it. You just assumed that it was crap and then you were wrong. Look at that. I mean, that doesn't stop you from continuing to sell posters with it on there as on the archaeological wall of shame or whatever. But, you know, the fact is, you know this is bullshit. Check out your little comment on sensationalism proves it.
He's a layman who knows that the success of his show is directly contingent on how sensationalized the bullshit is that he platforms.
You know how this works, and that's why your channel is almost entirely just mudslinging anymore. Now, to your credit, you did try to change this at one point.
I grew up watching enough reaction content on YouTube to know that I'm slowly becoming the person that I watched growing up, and I don't really like it. When I started this series, I did it because I wanted to analyze the things Graham Hancock has to say, but I can't help but feel like, in a way, I'm just doing well-researched, sensationalized reaction content. And you know what? To an extent, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because it's fun and the internet eats it up. There's a guilty pleasure. There's nothing wrong with that. But how can sensationalized reaction content, no matter how well-researched, make a difference? In around a week, I'm going to be going to Göbekli Tepe and Karahan Tepe myself to film some videos about these fascinating ancient archaeological sites. And with that trip bearing down on me, I realized something. Maybe I'm hyping myself up more than I should be, but I'm going to say it. I'm a fucking great teacher. I'm an awesome teacher. I love it. I'm passionate about it. I've been studying this stuff since I'm this big. I just finished earning my degree in it, and I want to continue to teach and, more importantly, learn for the rest of my life because it's what I'm passionate about. I'm giving an emboldened speech. Can you fly a helicopter somewhere else? I'm not going to be able to change any minds by doing my dogfight with Graham Hancock or by doing this series where I admittedly feel like I need to take a cold shower because I've just been sifting through the grease drippings left over from Hancock's creation. The way that I can actually make a difference is by going out into the world and doing what I do best, teach. Throughout this series, I talked about how amazing it would be to have a science communicator who is as flashy and appealing as Hancock, but tell things that are actually true. It's not worth sitting around and waiting for some knight in shining armor to show up and save science. I'll just do it myself.
But after that, your views dropped considerably, and a few months later, you went back to mudslinging, and, well, seems that you got lazy, too, because these videos, like this Sphinx one, is horrible, man. It's just so utterly, horribly misinformed, so lazy. It's kind of like once you resigned yourself to the reality of your channel just being a vapid mess, you became a bit of one yourself.
He said, there is something very huge that we are measuring beneath the Giza Plateau. Yeah, your fucking ego, Filippo. Jesus Christ.
Very droll. Now, explain how his ego's big. Is he going around saying that lay people don't understand science? Is he calling himself the arbiter of truth? No, he just has an opinion that disagrees with archaeologists, huh? That's... I guess it's better than calling him racist, huh?
He and his team said they were tipped off to the alleged underground guardian by explaining that lines between the pyramids to the known Sphinx also point to a parallel mound under which the second feline facsimile supposedly resides, like a cryptic puzzle from an Indiana Jones movie.
Now, while I personally believe that the lines from the pyramids like Biondi has there are not the best evidence, somebody doesn't need to have all their evidence, the best in the world, as long as they're doing honest research. They can have some really bad evidence and still end up stumbling in the right direction. For example, Carl Christian Ruffin was the anthropologist who discovered the Norse beat Columbus to the Americas. And the way he got started on this was all the rocks that he saw in the New World that had glyphs on them, he was like, wait a minute, them dumb Injuns can't be carving on no rocks. These must have been white folk. That's where he got started. Pretty fucked up, but he did honest research and eventually discovered what school children are taught today. The findings are what matters, and as long as the researcher portrays the stuff accurately, they push our knowledge further.
Part of the reason why pseudo-archaeology is able to be so popular with the general public is because the general public has really no idea what actual archaeology is. Instead, their perception of archaeology is informed by popular media, your Indiana Jones and Tomb Raider and things like that, which, don't get me wrong, I absolutely love. They're a great inspiration of mine, like for many people interested in archaeology, but they are obviously a terrible representation of archaeology. But the public doesn't know that, and so grifting assholes, hypothetically, can dress up their bullshit conspiracies in a veil that looks like something from Indiana Jones, and the public will just eat it up without even thinking about it. The dude was essentially talking about ley lines on an 80,000 subscriber conspiracy podcast on YouTube and got a fucking New York Post article written about him.
The public is not so stupid that they don't know that Indiana Jones and Lara Croft aren't indicative of real archaeology. This is absurd. People in the public, especially when they're passionate about something, tend to be very well informed on the stuff. Look at gamblers, for example. Some of these guys don't know the first thing about math. Pretty damn good at calculating odds. But Milo, on the other hand, he don't know the first thing about what he's talking about. He says that Biondé used ley lines. No, Biondé did not use ley lines. He used geometry. He even said so himself. Here is the thing. Ley lines are kind of metaphysical. They're like these proposed hypothetical lines that connect all of these different ancient sites and gets into the New Age and energy and all that. So it's a way for Milo to dismiss the idea that the Egyptians might have built a second Sphinx. He's treating that hypothesis as so outlandish as to be New Agey and stuff. And I'm not saying all the New Agey stuff's bullshit. What I'm saying is there are degrees of evidence, and the Egyptians making sphinxes falls in perfectly plausible thing, right? New Age stuff is a little bit less plausible.
Satellite images of the Giza Plateau have reportedly captured this dune, which the signal possessing radar claims measures approximately 108 feet tall. Oh my God. That's your image? That's the image.
Yes, it does look like the radar may well have found something. Biondé can call it a sphinx, and Milo can say that it isn't a sphinx, and Biondé brought something to the table, and Milo made a video that he didn't even bother to research. Awesome.
Now, the scan is obviously picking up on something here, but to call that a sphinx is just so disingenuous.
Well, this is where I step in and play Milo. Do what he should have done and provide proper arguments on the against side of this being a second sphinx. Okay, this is synthetic aperture radar being processed through artificial intelligence image generation, basically. First of all, it's worth noting it's proprietary. Only Filippo Biondé and his team have access to it, so we don't know for sure that these images are accurate. We have to take their word on that. So if I was Milo, that'd be the first place that I'd be like, But he didn't do enough research to even know that. The second thing worth pointing out is it's AI. Image generating. Think about all of the five thumbs that we would see on the early image generations, or a guy with one leg that just stretched off into infinity. And then think about the five king's chambers in the Great Pyramid, or those shafts going way down into the ground. It's quite possible that this is, you know, that we're getting something, but we're losing stuff too, that it's going in the wrong direction, or it's extrapolating too far, or it's just doing typical AI glitches and still needs a lot of ironing out. So my whole point here is to show you that Milo didn't do a fucking lick of research, guys. He can't even be bothered to express the basics of skepticism because he don't know anything about this shit. That's why I had to step in and buy this beautiful shirt that I'm totally going to wear out.
Now, I'm sure I hear a couple people saying, like, dude, why you gotta be mad, bro? Big archaeology. He's an actual researcher, okay? Look, he's doing research. Finding something like this and then confidently claiming that it is something completely outlandish and publishing it to the world without bothering to fact-check it is not fucking research.
How is the second Sphinx outlandish? Now, this is so typical. They just conflate everything together and it's all flat earth or bullshit. The Egyptians built sphinxes, at least one of them. We see statues of them on a smaller scale all over the damn place. We see them carved into things. And Milo would have you think that it's the same as having a spaceship buried in the Egyptian sands, like in Tommyknockers.
If I went out into the woods with a metal detector and mapped all of the points that I got signals at, that would be research. But if I then claimed that all of those signals were evidence that I'd found the location of El Dorado, that wouldn't be research. That would be complete bullshit.
You see what I mean? He conflates the idea of the Egyptians building a second Sphinx with a mythical city of gold, which doesn't even make sense until you remember that he thinks the public's so stupid that they think that freaking Han Solo and Lara Croft are the only archaeologists on the planet. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. This is so bottom of the barrel bullshit.
And you might say, oh, well, it's a lot more likely that this would be another Sphinx than that you'd actually find El Dorado with a metal detector. But barring likelihood, there's an equal amount of evidence for fucking both.
Are you for real?
You've confused possibilities with probabilities. According to your analogy, when I go home, I might find $1 million on my bed, or I might not. In what universe is that 50-50?
The difference in evidence for these things is staggering. How many cities of gold have we found in the Americas? How many sphinxes have we found in Egypt?
Precise geometrical correlation. Oh my God. I'm not quite sold on it, but if you threw in maybe like a resonance, maybe like a vibration or like a harmonic, or maybe like a energy, I might be on board with that.
More of the same. Conflate the idea that the ancient Egyptians might have built things using symmetry on a larger scale with New Aginess, then mock New Aginess. By extension, you mock the much more reasonable position. It's disgusting that Milo uses this tactic, but it's even more disgusting that so many line up to lap that stuff up like dogs do their own filth.
The researcher also referenced the fact that the Dream Stele, a granite slab sitting in front of the Sphinx, number one. Okay, this is what I mean by this being really fucking irresponsible research. The public does not have the fucking tools they need to think critically about this information. So if you tell them confidently that you found a second Sphinx, they start labeling the only Sphinx as Sphinx 1.
Yes, the public does have access to the tools they need to look into this, Milo. They have access to the same tools you and I do. You can buy a paper if you're really interested. And some people are very interested. Some people conflate paleontology and Egyptology. And guess what? Guess what? Those people aren't reading these articles because they don't give a shit, okay? They don't care. It's just passing to them. It's not going to change anything. And it's staggering that you give a shit so much, but it seems like it attacks your ego somehow. So you have to push back against it and conflate everything that possibly disagrees with mainstream archaeology as woo. Even something so normal as a second edifice of the type that we've already seen built. It's insane to be this skeptical of this thing. And one more thing worth pointing out, Milo. They label them Sphinx number one and Sphinx number two because they're talking about a hypothetical second Sphinx. If you label them one and two, now you can differentiate between the two of them easier than saying the real Sphinx and the Sphinx we don't know about yet. You understand?
I think that whatever this is, it totally warrants more research. It's just a cool structure. There could be something there. But implying that it's pretty much confirmed is going to lead to some poor bastard at the New York Post who loves Indiana Jones to publishing it as though it's fact to everybody else.
I agree that it warrants more research, and I think it's pretty cool that Filippo brought all this to the public for us to evaluate. But I think it's really sad that Milo is portraying these articles as though they're not expressing any skepticism and just saying that this is a new Sphinx, period, end of story. Let's look at the New York Post article. The pyramids of Giza might only be the tip of the iceberg. Italian researchers claim they might have found signs of a Sphinx located beneath the pyramids of Giza, suggesting the existence of a sprawling subterranean citadel. Radar engineer Filippo Biondi dropped this alleged historic bombshell during a recent episode of the Matt Bell Limitless podcast, The Daily Mail reported. So let's check the Daily Mail. Ancient Egyptians may have left behind a cryptic clue to a hidden second Sphinx carved directly into stone more than 3,000 years ago. The Dream Stele, positioned between the paws of the Great Sphinx, appears to depict two Sphinx figures, hinting that the legendary monument may once have had a twin. Now, Italian researchers who, in 2025, claimed to have uncovered massive underground structures beneath the Giza Plateau, believe they have identified the second guardian buried deep beneath the sands. Who exactly is portraying this as factual? None of the mainstream outlets are. So why is Milo pretending that they are? My guess is, otherwise everybody will be able to see that all of his complaining and vitriol is just vapid and ideologically based and not based in scientific inquiry.
His theory implies that there was an actual function to the propagandistic symbol, which was constructed by Pharaoh Thutmose IV. Scans showing the alleged parallels between the Great Sphinx and its supposed subterranean doppelganger. This is something I'm going to have to talk a little bit more about when I do some research, but like, what are the time periods on all these?
If you don't know anything about this, why did you upload this part? I'll tell you why. To increase the runtime of the video, because more runtime equals more ad revenue.
Because a lot of times when people do this stupid fucking ley line shit, they're drawing parallels between a ton of different things that are not only very well documented and well understood, but were built like hundreds of years apart.
His position is not based on ley lines. Milo, you've already said what his position was based on.
Biondi said the precise geometrical correlation between the visible structures and this mysterious dune has made him about 80% confident in his theory.
Dimwit.
Coincidentally, Biondi is not the only researcher to claim the existence of a second Sphinx. Egyptologist Bassam el-Shammah first raised the theory more than a decade ago, citing an ancient Egyptian record in mythology that described a lightning bolt striking the Sphinx. He postulated that this image could allude to a second monument that was destroyed after being cursed by a powerful Egyptian god. Egypt's former minister of antiquities, Zahi Hawass, has thrown cold water on such theories, arguing that extensive excavations of the area have yielded nothing. Biondi stressed the need to study the phenomenon more carefully. It's just so classic. Don't get me wrong, I don't think Zahi Hawass is perfect. I got my qualms with him as well. But whether or not you like his fucking attitude, he's one of the biggest names in Egyptology. Now, my point with that isn't an appeal to authority. Quite the contrary, actually. My point is that he is personally invested in Egyptian archaeology and Egyptian tourism doing better. So from a purely self-serving standpoint, archaeologists like Zahi Hawass have way more to gain from a discovery like this than whoever the fuck this schmo is.
Now, there's a lot to unpack here. First of all, a lot of other researchers, some of them trained Egyptologists, have posited that there's a second Sphinx out there somewhere. Another thing that's worth mentioning is the fact that we all learned stuff here. Like I said at the beginning, we all learned about synthetic aperture radar and new texts maybe and different ideas, different hypotheses about the Sphinx. Think about your own path when you looked into this stuff and your own rabbit hole and how you learned about new things. Milo has denied himself that opportunity. He's done no research, admits that he's done no research, but then he takes it the next step and spreads that like some horrible version of an STD out into the whole goddamn world and makes everybody dumber. He didn't have to do that, but he did. Now, as for Zahi Hawass, he's a heel. Like in wrestling, they have a heel, right? Zahi, he knows which side his bread is buttered on, and so he, well, you need somebody to hide these things, right? So he plays the villain. Now, you might think I'm crazy here, but, you know, shortly after Arab Spring, when tourism dropped by 80% in Egypt, Zahi had this to say.
Every day, one email of people insulting me. They think that I hide all the evidence about lost civilization. But you have to know, if there is anything bad in Egypt, this new age people, they come. They don't care.
Now, I'm not saying the man's never broken any rules and that the allegations against him for impropriety and stuff are not accurate. All I'm saying is that he uses his reputation to facilitate tourism.
This is a point that I always make with these pseudo-archaeological cover-up theories. Whether it's that they're hiding giants or hiding Atlantis or they're leaving part of Göbekli Tepe buried to hide the truth, you know who the fuck you are. Why the fuck would archaeologists want to hide the biggest discoveries ever made?
Now, why would archaeologists cover up this sort of thing when their whole job is to expose the past to the world? Shit, I don't know, man. That's a good question. Why would a scout leader hurt kids when his whole point was to take them out into the woods and teach them about life? Give them a good, wholesome upbringing. This is the stupidest thing ever, man. Look, ego comes into play, like with Clovis first, or before that with the whole there could be no people in the Americas before 3,000 years ago. The same racist-ass dude that did that was the racist that pushed against the idea that there were any graves in the Americas at all that had these giant bones. And I don't mean like 10 feet tall, I mean 7 foot 6. Oh, no. Couldn't be a possibility, pushed against by a dude for racist reasons. Some guys might just be selling stuff on the black market, so they hide it because it's easier to sell it than hide it. I don't know. There's all kinds of crazy things. One of the things I've noticed is a site that I just randomly went to recently, the Gila Cliff Dwellings in New Mexico. And I looked up some freaking papers on it, and a lot of things were redacted, like black bars all over the place, levels of redacted, like these were emails from an island, levels of redacted. You know, speaking of islands, why would somebody who was taking their kids on a nice vacation to the tropics eat them? I think that I've made my point.
There's a whole subset of the pseudo-archaeology economy online that is just founded in people complaining about things archaeologists aren't doing, which is crazy because they don't give a flying fuck about the things archaeologists are actually doing. The people that make up these cover-ups don't care about archaeology. They just found a really profitable grifting angle for the outrage economy that we live in.
The cover-ups aren't manufactured, Milo. The cocaine mummies, the Egyptian mummies said to have cocaine in them, the first 9 tested were in the Munich Museum, and anybody who wants to test them again to do replicability, they're denied access to them. You've got the site that I just showed you, the Gila Cliff Dwellings, where there's a bunch of black bars and redacted information. I don't know how much more blatant you can get about it than that. There's the elongated skulls that Rockefeller purchased that were publicly displayed in the Met and in the National History Museum in New York. And there's no photographs, there's no drawings, there's no measurements said to exist. They don't even know where they are anymore. This is a consistent issue. Zahi Hawass and the body in the Osiris shaft. It's still happening right now. Ignoring this stuff, Milo, allows it to fester. And you, in the position you are where you can get over 1 million views just vomiting nothing onto the internet, dude, you actually could do something here. But you won't.
Using a satellite radar technology capable of detecting subtle ground vibrations, Biondi claimed the data points to a massive structure concealed beneath a 180-foot-high mound of hardened sand. Oh, wow, okay, so it's literally just the exact same article.
Wow, that is lazy. Don't bother editing that part out. You got to increase that ad revenue, right? Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. What is my runtime now?
Oh, my God. The two sphinxes. That's the dream stele. It's fucking symmetrical. They made it fucking symmetrical. There's two of them on it because it's fucking symmetrical.
It's not symmetrical, Milo. Let's take away the two sphinxes and look at the different figures. Look at the guys holding different shit and their hands are different thing. The hieroglyphs, while similar, are different. It's not a mirror image. It's not symmetrical. The lions are symmetrical. The top part's symmetrical. You fucking do it. That's how much research he did. He couldn't be fucked to look at a picture long enough to find the hidden differences.
Could a buried second sphinx still have its original head? There's been a lot of talk lately that the possible location for a second sphinx has been identified near the Great Sphinx of Giza. Nothing has been confirmed. How the fuck is alternative history Reddit doing a better due diligence of not claiming that this is fact than the New York fucking Post?
All history Reddit is not doing a better job of being skeptical. You are giving them credit instead of actually paying attention to the words on the page when you read the articles. Let's read again from the Daily Mail. Despite the remaining uncertainties, wow, Biondi said the team believes the structure, if it exists, is likely buried beneath the mound rather than exposed above ground. Milo Rossi, you are an anti-science communicator, like the evil twin to Carl Sagan. You make millions dumber for cash.
When you look at the Sphinx we have today, something just seems off. The head looks too small for the body, and the body itself looks much more worn down than the head. I talked about this in that video, but there's a theory that the current head of the Sphinx is not what the head of the Sphinx always was, and that it was modified at some point over time from an older iteration. I said in that video, and I'll say again, that I like that theory. I actually think that's really interesting. I don't necessarily know if I subscribe to it. It would be kind of a hard thing to prove, so again, I'm not saying it's 100%. You know what? Actually, no, fuck it. I should say it's 100% and go on some fucking dipshit dude bro podcast and get myself a fucking New York Post article.
Yes, there is a possibility the head has been recarved, maybe several times throughout history. Normally, a dog isn't what people posit. Normally, it's a lion. But I'm going to be Milo, and we'll twink this properly. Look, the geological argument against this is because it's all based on the weathering of the Sphinx, right? Well, you see those stratification layers there on the Sphinx, on the head, how it's got all these little lines, and on the body, it's got these lines. They say the head is made out of harder limestone than the body, and so the head hasn't weathered as fast as the body, so Egyptologists think that there is no reason to believe that the head was recarved. Now, mainstream Egyptology, like that's the general consensus. There are outliers. But my point here is, I believe the Sphinx is over 10,000 years old. I believe they were venerating that chunk of bedrock well into prehistory. Milo, not so much. I at least taught you something. You just fucking learned something about geology and about what the counter-argument is for the ancient heads being recarved on the Sphinx. From Milo, what did you get? That's a cool idea. You know, I think that might be all right. I think that might be good. What kind of a fucking world do we live in right now? This guy's the debunker. I'm the debunker. And in this world where I believe that the Sphinx is 10,000 years old, and Milo believes that it's fourth dynasty, I know more evidence against my position than Milo does. Oh, and he's got 20 times my following and more education.
Oh, fuck. You know who I bet would have some really interesting things to say about this? TikTok.
Guys, here we go again. They've scanned the Giza Plateau and they think they found a second Sphinx. I know. At first I was like, no, we've debunked all the second Sphinx rumors and theories. That's not happening. But then I watched Filippo Biondi be a guest on the Matt Beale Limitless podcast, and he explained his evidence, he explained the scans, and I'm not gonna lie, I think there's something to it.
Okay, so this is a Google image, like from above.
It's bleak, guys. It's bleak. It's hilarious. Oh, it's hilarious. It's like, I always dreamed that the downfall of modern society would be, you know, like aliens or something. You know, it would be like humanity fought hard tooth and nail to the last, but at the end of the day, we were overcome by a superior enemy. But it's not going to be that. It's just going to be all of us are just going to be like, all right, everyone, fuck it. Let's just be stupid again. And we're all going to, like, you know, get fucking measles will be back. I mean, measles is back, I guess. I really hope there's some, like, alien aircraft out there taking, you know, notes of all this, because this is going to make a really great, like, alien, like, children's book, Aesop fable. The ant and the grasshopper, you know? It's just fucking crazy.
You ain't gonna do my girl Johanna like that. What did she say that's going to ruin society? What did she say that's going to bring back measles? What did she say that's crazy? Nothing. Nothing. Milo's little coke-addled brain is going to bring up this Aesop's fable about the ants and the grasshopper again. I don't understand where the fuck he comes from with it or where he's going with it. I think that, you ever seen those schizophrenic artists and they make these connections that, like, their mind sees and the rest of us go, Jesus Christ. That's what I'm thinking right now, because I don't see this ants and grasshopper thing at all. What I do see is a whole shitload of no research and a video that's an hour long. Holy shit.
Okay, so there was about like maybe 3 or 4 days between the clip that just ended and me right now. And in that time, I wanted to kind of really dive deeper into the research on this this topic. You know, I thought it'd be fun to have first half of the video be learning about it together in real time, and the second half would be, kind of my more informed analysis of it. But as I said about doing this research, I came across a bit of a problem, one that I kind of already identified in the first half of this video, which is that this is really fucking stupid. Because of how much traction this thing has gotten, I felt like I was getting prepared to do, like, you know, actual research. But the nice thing is when the thing that you're talking about didn't really do any research whatsoever, you don't really have to dig that deep to figure out that it's bullshit.
He just partied for 3 days. He didn't do any research. He probably emailed a couple archaeologists that had knee-jerk reactions, like Egyptologist John Baines did when the cocaine mummies came up back in the 90s. The idea that Egyptians should have traveled to America is overall absurd, and I also don't know anyone who spends time doing research in these areas because they're not perceived to be areas that have any real meaning for the subjects. Even though he claimed to take time off to do research, he didn't do no research. And the reason is because he considers the Sphinx the same as a monster under a kid's bed. Why look? Just tell him you did and get your check.
Like, again, my argument here isn't that the data shows something. It very obviously does. More so, my problem is that the researchers jumped to an outlandish and sensational conclusion and then published it on a podcast without doing any due diligence whatsoever.
So you have no real complaint besides the ones you fabricated. Like, you just talk shit about a guy that you admit made a find that you think is worthy of further investigation. Let me ask you a question, Milo. Do you think other people are going to want to bring out their new avant-garde finds if they have to face being called a fucking idiot by the science communicators who actually agree that they might have found something? What the fuck is wrong with you? Do you know how anti-scientific you're being? But you get that paycheck, though, right? You get that paycheck. So who gives a fuck, dude? I understand. I like getting a paycheck from YouTube, too. Google AdSense. Yeah, buddy. However, I don't know. Try to do some fucking research first, man. Jesus Christ. Or at least admit that you know nothing and that you're just talking out your fucking ass.
So in an effort to give this theory what I view as an abundance of good faith, I sort of identified the three major arguments and lines of reasoning that are used to support this being a second sphinx. The three major pieces of evidence that I see Boyandi use to try and support this theory are as follows. The dream stele in front of the Great Sphinx, which he says suggests the existence of a second one. The symmetry between the pyramids and the Great Sphinx, which he uses to predict that second sphinx's location. And finally, the scan of the site itself.
First of all, the fact that the object that Boyandi found lines up with the geometry that he plotted out on the Giza Plateau is interesting. It's not worth ignoring outright. But more importantly, Milo missed the bigger picture on the duality of the sphinxes. Here are the Horus Sphinx at Edfu. Here is the Avenue of Sphinxes at Luxor. And then there's the account of the Arabic explorer Muhammad al-Adrizi, who in about 1120 AD claimed to have seen a second sphinx made of mud brick, much smaller and in a horribly dilapidated state, near the Nile River that was already lapping at its feet. So it stands to reason that the Nile eventually eroded the entire thing away if it ever existed. There are a lot of different people throughout history that have posited a lot of things about a potential second sphinx, but Milo knows nothing about it because he did no research whatsoever, which is bad enough on its own if he claims to be into this stuff. But as a science communicator, to go make a video that you have done no research on is horribly irresponsible, to say the least.
Okay, so here's something interesting that I noticed that I just feel is, I feel compelled to mention before we get into all these specific lines of reasoning. As I've already beaten into the ground sufficiently in this video, the whole thing about this being released on a podcast is immeasurably fucking stupid, but I'm not all that surprised. These, like, Joe Rogan ripoff conspiracy podcasts are a dime a dozen now. Pretty much any idiot with electricity and access to their mom's fucking credit card can buy a microphone and just start saying literally whatever the fuck they want. And with the culture of disinformation and anti-intellectualism we see now, pushed by everyone from these idiots all the way up to the highest levels of the government, people doing stupid shit like this has just become a good profitable business model where you are rewarded by the world that we live in.
Yeah, that's Milo Bean. Unironically ironic as fuck. He's saying that, you know, he's fine. even though he's dumbing down the masses. But the guys that make findings, well, those guys are the problem. Oh, and anybody who has a podcast, how far we've come from Sagan where Milo thinks we can't question anybody.
If we are not able to ask skeptical questions, to interrogate those who tell us that something is true, to be skeptical of those in authority, then we're up for grabs for the next charlatan, political or religious, who comes ambling along.
But I was curious about who this Matt Beal was. I mean, his YouTube channel has like 80,000 subs, which is, you know, nothing to sneeze at, but it's no, you know, it's no me. I'm kidding, subscribers is obviously no metric of quality, as you can see. But I didn't really understand how a guy with not really that big of a following had such a fucking budget for his studio. The place looks like it was designed by Graham Hancock after spending a day tripping on DMT in a Planet Fitness. Now, regardless that I think everything in this set, from the wall art to the fucking piss throne, is one of the most visually repulsive things I've ever seen, I do recognize that that set costs a lot of fucking money. So I decided to do a little bit of research, as it were. It wasn't that hard to figure this out, it was literally a single Google search. And as it turns out, Matt Beal isn't just a Joe Rogan knockoff. He is also the CEO of a Florida-based retail company with an estimated value of $2 billion. Unsurprisingly, the company is called Beals. And you might be thinking, oh, wow, what a great entrepreneur. Good for him. Bravo. Well, he might be, but we wouldn't know that considering that the company was started by like his great-great-grandfather or something. So, you know, he was great-great-grandfathered into it. Now, Matt Beal's personal net worth is not really available anywhere that I could find, but I'd hazard a guess when you have been grandfathered into a company worth $2 billion potentially, I would imagine that the guy has fucking millions in the bank.
Now, Matt does have a couple of bucks, but he is far from a Joe Rogan knockoff. Matt had me on before Rogan even knew who I was, before Graham Hancock knew who I was. Matt flew me down to Florida and put me up in the Ritz-Carlton, which I hadn't been in since I quit blowing businessmen for freaking LSD. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been in a Ritz-Carlton. And, you know, the people that worked there, well, they probably got stories to tell about that night, too. But at any rate, I got to have, that was my first experience going and traveling and doing the podcast stuff. And Matt's, he's got this heart that's like, he's truly searching for things. And he's got a lot of money, but I'll give you an example of what separates him in my mind from a lot of different people. One, his business isn't publicly traded, and as such, he is extremely kind to his employees, like way kinder than any business that had shareholders could ever legally be allowed to do. Second is that I watched him when I had him on my channel for a podcast, that I watched somebody call him, "You're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, you billionaire piece of shit," and blah, 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 blah. And Matt didn't respond with, "Fuck you, peasant," which is how I would respond now, even though I'm probably poorer than the guy saying it, right? Matt fucking engaged and had a discussion with the guy and actually admitted that there were going to be places that he didn't have the same experiences and didn't know as much. It was like, Matt's genuinely a good guy. I really like the man. I'm proud to know him. And I'm not just saying that because he's my friend. But I'm certainly not saying that because I want money, although I will put a link to my Ko-Fi down below. And if you want to, if any of you out there have really deep pockets and feel like that little spiel there was worth sending, $50 million to, links below.
Now, I'm not going to go too deep on this because I don't really know shit about Matt. I don't know shit about his company. But I do find it very interesting that someone with God knows how much money to burn is dedicating their time to making a podcast that looks like this. This is probably like one of the best examples I've ever found in the wild of how the ultra rich are using their immense wealth and resources to keep all of us really gullible and stupid.
Now, the absolute of self-awareness here is unbelievable. Milo, you're over there doing no research and claiming that you have. Matt is over there asking questions and bringing on people and then pushing against their opinions when he feels they're worth pushing against. You guys are night and day. I'll give you an example. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Matt invites you to be on his podcast. Dude, you're going to love Florida. Cocaine's so easy to find down there. I've heard.
Because if you're too busy living in fear of aliens or archaeologists or, a fucking trans kid playing soccer, then you'll be perfectly distracted so that you don't notice the gas and grocery prices going up, or how we now have thousands of pages of definitive proof that every single person in our fucking government is involved in the most despicable actions imaginable and will face no fucking consequences. So just sit down, shut up, inject the distractions, and stay the fucking line.
Damn, Milo spitting some facts there. This is one of the reasons I liked the guy so much in the early days. Well, that and the fact that he shared my channel. But, I mean, seriously, that's some Kurt Metzger levels of fuck them island boys he's spitting right there, and I love it. But he's also wrong about a lot. He's wrong about the idea that this is diminishing scientific credibility and all that stuff. It's like, look, dude, you have to understand something here. They weaponize scientific literacy now. I'll give you a great example. If, say, for instance, you look on the internet and you're like, man, it takes 10 years for them to test a vaccine. And then they make a vaccine in a year and a half. Then they tell you to trust the science. It's like, well, wait a minute. I do trust the process. I'll let Carl Sagan explain what science is.
Science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking, a way of skeptically interrogating the universe with a fine understanding of human fallibility.
So trusting the science means trust the methodology, not the proclaimed result, especially when politics is involved. But that's not how things have been playing out recently. But not that I'm referencing any specific event. This is, you know, all similarities to any people living or dead or shall not plead the fifth.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about our lines of reasoning. All right, so the first piece of evidence that I want to talk about is this dream stele. Am I saying that right? Stele? It's one of the things I've only ever really seen written. Stella? Probably not that.
Steel.
No, I too mispronounce everything because I read more than I watch content to learn stuff. It doesn't really matter. I don't really care. Again, me and Milo have a lot in common. I mean, look at it. We both dressed up like doped up drag queens. We both love to get trashed and we both love science. I love reading about it, and he loves sodomizing it, but we both love it.
So again, this is a giant stone, stele, that is sitting outside of the one, the single and only great sphinx that we know of. On the stone, there's a carving of two sphinxes back-to-back at the top, which is super cool, but I mean, even some genius like Boyandi must know that that's not a very good line of evidence, so it must say something in the text about there being two sphinxes, right? That would be, like, reasonable supporting evidence. You're not telling me he just saw a picture of two sphinxes and that was good enough evidence for him. Right?
No, as I said earlier, there is numerous examples of dualism when it comes to the Sphinx in Egyptian iconography. Many different people have many different hypotheses about it. I believe the second Sphinx is in the sky, shameless plug.
It's like people only do things because they get paid. And that's just really sad.
This text does not include anything about, you know, a treasure map leading to another place. It is placed directly at the foot of the Sphinx. And most importantly, it does not say fucking anything about another Sphinx. It is the Pharaoh resting at the foot of the Sphinx that the monument is erected in front of and being told by that Sphinx to clear off the sand on top of it so he would become Pharaoh. And in memorial, he later erected the stone in front of that one Sphinx.
This is why the iconography matters, Milo. You see how the two Sphinxes are the same, but the men attending to them are not? It's quite possible that this is kind of like the idea of the Trinity, like the three are the one at the same time, together but separate. The Trinity bothers you. Christianity's too hard on your new agey brain. Try yin yang. You've got one with two inside of it. You follow the idea here? Same kind of thing. What's that that one big fat badass dude says?
Details matter.
So as far as I can tell, and I mean when I say I really looked into this because I, no matter how much I'm ragging on Boyandi, I don't think he could be this stupid. Yo, I can't figure out how to emphasize this enough, that we're looking at a guy looking at a picture of two sphinxes back to back and using that as evidence that there is a second actual sphinx that everyone missed. That's the fucking caliber of research we're working with here.
Milo did not look into this at all, as he said, and it really shows. And he has 3 million subscribers doing absolutely nothing. And like I mentioned earlier, Egypt is like the biggest place he should know things about because it's kind of ground zero for all the goofy claims out there. All the pseudo-archaeologists out there love ancient Egypt. But Milo don't know fucking first thing about it.
There is no evidence that is actually leading him to that location. If the inscription on the stone that we just looked at hinted at there being another Sphinx that was the twin of this one, or, you know, something about its location in relation to the pyramids, this would be a really great piece of evidence. But rather than these lines serving as a prediction supported by actual evidence, the lines are just supposed to be the evidence in and of themselves. Again, this isn't saying that this line of reasoning is necessarily bad. It's just that doing something like this only makes sense when there is other evidence.
Yes, there is other evidence, and this is a huge problem with Milo's channel. For one, there's the scans. For two, there's more than one place that we see a duality of the Sphinx portrayed in Egyptian iconography. So according to Milo's own metrics...
Again, this isn't saying that this line of reasoning is necessarily bad. It's just that doing something like this only makes sense when there is other evidence.
This is good evidence. But he will never admit such a thing.
See, many other pseudo-archaeologists, especially those on, you know, the lost civilization people, they're constantly chalking up their lack of evidence to, oh, well, it's just in a place we haven't looked yet, which is its own kind of bullshit, but here we actually have something really nice, because Boyandi has given us an exact location where he is predicting this Sphinx is. All right, so let's have a look at that on a satellite map. I just cannot believe this. For those of you not looking at your screen, the highlighted area in which this Sphinx is predicted to be in is, like, in the middle of an active and excavated archaeological site. It isn't just in, like, the middle of the Sahara Desert in a place that's never been excavated. Boyandi is making a prediction that there is a second Sphinx, one of the largest and most well-known archaeological monuments in the world, located in the middle of one of the most excavated locations on the entire fucking planet.
If it's so well excavated, then why is it that you said it's worthy of more investigation? This area has been a dump for like the last 100 years for other archaeological excavations. It's almost like you just kind of make shit up, Milo. It's almost like you just make shit up as we go along. Ain't nobody been digging there for like 100 fucking years.
Well, Milo, you're talking about all of these things that are conjecture, you know, the mirrored sphinxes on the carving and this triangular location, but they aren't just random guesses because they have the scan. So if this scan lines up with everything else, then, you know, the rest of it actually makes sense. And that's not really a terrible line of reasoning. If they got a scan that showed a sphinx and it was triangulated to this location, I'd be like, wow, that's fucking awesome. So let's have a look at the scan. Ta-da! If you do have a chance to look at your screen for this one, I recommend you do, because it's really the best punchline I could have ever asked for. The scan doesn't show a fucking sphinx. It's like, it's a lump. Just like Boyandi's last research, a term that I have never used more liberally, what he seems to do is like collect data and then just make up some absolutely crazy shit to go along with it. Once again, when he did the Khafre pyramid scan last year, this was the data that he got, and this is how he interpreted it.
For real? You can't even put the fucking scan on the screen? You did shit research, your fact checkers did a shit job fact checking, and your editors are watching K-pop Demon Hunters or something instead of editing. Great video, Milo. Much science. Much education.
And in this research, his scan showed this, which he interpreted as being a fucking sphinx. I'm not denying that the scan shows something. It very obviously does.
Again, no scan, but the point here is he's saying, I don't think there's enough information here for Boyandi to be confident. And that's it. That's his major complaint against a man who brought evidence to bear that Milo himself says we should check out. It's worth more investigation. He has nothing but outrage. Politics, team lines, this guy's Team Atlantis, and then Milo's not. That's the only fucking thing that makes sense here, because this video makes no sense. His complaints make no sense.
I'm just saying that I would sooner trust a fucking 12-year-old on a hero's dose of Adderall to interpret this data over Boyandi.
Well, I have to say that, you know, Filippo Boyandi is a radar scientist, and, you know, the 12-year-old on Adderall is probably your plug. And I get that you trust your plug a lot, but probably not the best source for radar data.
And even though most people could probably interpret this data better than Boyandi could, they're not going to, because they're not nearly as fucking irresponsible as he is.
Again, this guy's a trained scientist in this field, and you are over here questioning his expertise in a video where you complain about people questioning expertise of people outside of their fields. Milo, you have become the trash-ass content creator you watched growing up.
You're gonna want to get down here and see this. In fact, bring a big backup. Yeah, bring in the big gun.
That said, what actually is this? I have no problem saying I have absolutely no idea. I can make some informed guesses. I'd be willing to put almost all my chips on the fact that this is a piece of weathered bedrock from the Giza Plateau. It's the same feature that the Great Sphinx is built on top of. It's a piece of rock that was eroded by windblown sand and rain and then was buried at the end of the African humid period. If you want to learn more about it, which I highly suggest you do, you should check out my video on the Green Sahara. I'll link that as well, or I won't, and you'll find it on my channel. It's there, you'll find it. Now, if this is the case, which I view to be incredibly likely, this means that it's been buried underneath this sand for, what, 10,000 years? Maybe more?
Guess what? I don't know either. You have to put the scan on the screen. Like, obvious jokes aside, for real, there's a lot of people that believe that, you know, ancient Egypt was well going into the Green Sahara 10,000, 12,000 years ago, that there was all kinds of shit going on there. And to those people, the idea of a Sphinx being buried that long ago or being around that long ago isn't that crazy. But Milo just dismisses all this stuff with derision. Again, team lines in this case, different frameworks of reality.
But I don't even need to speculate on how long it's been buried, because there's one thing that's just even more stupid. How the fuck has nobody else found it yet? There's no way in hell that a second Sphinx was either carved or constructed and buried this much lower than everything else.
I know, right? I feel the exact same way about math. I mean, I know we had Sir Isaac Newton, but then after that, we had that dude in the electric wheelchair that drove around with the robot voice. After those guys, is there really any reason to do any more research in math, or haven't we found all the damn numbers yet? Or how about biology? Are you trying to tell me that after 150 years after Darwin, we still haven't found all of the species yet? Fucking come on. Milo, you are as scientific as an episode of Beavis and Butthead.
Ain't you them kids that have been whacking off in my tool shed?
Now, there's an argument to this. There are people that claim that the Sphinx itself is, you know, was first worked by a much older civilization that predates the Egyptians. I don't really have a strong opinion on this. I think it's kind of a cool theory that may have some merit. Again, it has existed for a long time. So they may say, ah, well, if that's the case, then maybe the other Sphinx was carved by the same civilization as well. Again, I'm really trying to fucking steel man this the best I can. I haven't even seen anyone come up with an argument this fucking intelligent.
Oh boy, now we're going to see Milo's ignorance on full display. Look, to those of us that believe ancient Egypt is really, really old, 10,000, 12,000 year old Sphinx isn't crazy. So Milo is way off the mark when he says,
that's not a terrible theory, but you know who shot you in the foot with this one? Fucking Boyandi did. See, if it was carved by a much older civilization, that could account for how deeply buried it is and why no one has found it yet. But all of Boyandi's evidence hinges on it being contemporary to the other Egyptian sites around it.
No, his evidence just says that if it exists, that it was known about when they built the pyramids and stuff. It was incorporated as part of the layout. Buildings can be built at different eras and still be put in the same place. I dare say the Roman Colosseum is in a city that doesn't quite look like ancient Rome anymore. This is stupid, Milo. This is a really ridiculous line of reasoning. Now, I don't believe that there's a second Sphinx, not on the ground anyway, like I said, but I have a reason for believing what I do, and I would never dream of calling Biondi an idiot or anything like that for doing his work. But then again, maybe I should try, because if I was more of an asshole, maybe I'd get more of a following, huh?
What people want to see is a dogfight.
So for this fucking guy to go on some bullshit podcast and run his mouth that he has found something that not only modern archaeologists somehow missed when digging on top of it, but also something that somehow thousands of years of ancient people just missed or forgot to record as well, is an absolute disgrace to anyone that gives a single shit about history.
Look at that anger. And for what? For a find that Milo admits should be looked into further. This isn't science communication, man. This is like Rush Limbaugh. He's just angry, yelling, getting a paycheck while fanning the fires of anger in other people with no regard for the end result.
Similarly, I am also not saying that this discovery isn't something. I'm not doubting his methods or claiming that he faked the data. Instead, my thesis for all of this has less to do with the data itself or the challenging of the paradigm. The thing that frustrates me is the wanton irresponsibility of every single person involved in this. The data shows something, certainly. But instead of interpreting it through the lens of plausible reality, Boyandi interpreted it through his massive fucking ego. Rather than just presenting his data as something interesting, he presented it as conclusive evidence of a second Sphinx.
Now, scientists are often really confident in their hypotheses, and that's a good thing. It helps them do their research when they know the answers there, so they keep looking. But Milo's criticizing Biondi for exactly this. And as I've already shown you, you know, Matt Bell, he's very skeptical of the second Sphinx at this point. Here, watch this clip really quick.
But right? If it was legit, why wouldn't you license the software out to companies, governments?
The governments would be the big one.
Governments would love to have this technology if it worked, if it was real. I mean, they, you know, finding whatever they wanted, natural resources, bunkers, you know, whatever you wanted to find. Yeah. Oil companies could be using this to drill, right? I mean, so why not become the world's first trillionaire, I guess, if it was real? And if money wasn't a thing and money didn't matter, then why are you selling tickets and why are you trying to get money for funding for it? Like, the whole thing is just very, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Yeah, I would like for it to be real, obviously.
Yeah, but clearly. I would like for it to be real, too.
It's tough because it can cast a shadow on the whole, like, any outside-the-box thinking and kind of anything outside mainstream, you know? So it's like, that's why I'm felt compelled to say something, because I know there's so many just honest independent researchers out there that are, you know, trying to get to the bottom of some truth. In this case, in most cases, there's either like, okay, telling the truth, lying, or thinks they're telling the truth, and, you know, we don't know. But in this case, that third option doesn't really exist. You're either telling the truth or you're not telling the truth with the Biondi thing. And, you know, yeah, I don't know for sure what it is, but there's a lot of red flags there for sure. And it's like, I just feel like some people think that this is like just entertainment as opposed to, you know, like truth finding and being legitimate and being honest. Like, we're just trying to entertain people and, you know, sell something. And it's just a shame.
Yeah, that's what you just said. That's such a huge part of it. It's so frustrating, too, because...
So really, Milo has nothing to complain about. All the articles that he says should express no skepticism express skepticism. Filippo Biondi is just a dude doing what a dude does in the scientific community. And Matt Bell, well, he's expressed skepticism as well. So basically, the only thing Milo has is these guys are on Team Atlantis and we're not. Fuck those guys. Much science, big education. I learned so much watching this guy.
Sure, he said that he only has an 80% confidence, which is still way, way fucking more than it should be. But this isn't him actually trying to manage the expectations of the listeners. This is him trying to cover his own ass because he knows what he's doing is insanely irresponsible. It doesn't matter that he said he wasn't 100% certain because he knows that everyone that picks up on this podcast is going to publicize it as though he was.
Except, as we've already seen, they didn't report it as factual. But Milo has to pretend that they did, otherwise he looks like a fucking kid who hates Call of Duty, so he goes on Reddit to r/COD and goes, Halo's the best! Oh, Halo's the best! He doesn't want to look like that, so he's got to have a reason somewhere that this is bad. So, you know, just lie about the fucking articles and pretend that they don't say what they do. Much science, big education. I learned a lot.
And as we have seen from nearly everything produced about this topic, whether it's a fucking actual news article or some random fucking idiot on TikTok, all of them are regurgitating it as though it's fact.
No, they are not calling it a fact. Almost nobody's calling it a fact. Matt Bell's not calling it a fact. The articles that you've cited are not calling it a fact. The TikToker you cited is not calling it a fact. One scientist, one single scientist is calling this a fact, Milo. Fucking end of the world, right?
Now, I don't really expect any better from Matt Beal. His entire podcast is just anti-intellectual propaganda like this, so I'd imagine I'm probably not going to be able to change his mind about shit.
Hell, I wouldn't be surprised to see Matt invite you to be on Limitless, Milo. I'll ask him if you'd like it, you know, if you're afraid to reach out to the guy.
But the person I would expect better from in this situation is Boyandi. I don't even really know what his credentials and background are, and I don't even really care because I'm going to be abundantly charitable. But judging by the work that he actually does with his fucking, you know, scanning information, the guy has some fucking background in science.
You don't even know his background. That's why research is important, people.
Keep telling you, Finley.
I know details matter. Let's go.
Which is why it is so disappointing to see him do shit like this. Again, maybe I'm being too charitable, but Boyandi should know how fucking irresponsible this is. What he's doing not only undermines the field of archaeology, but the scientific body as a whole.
Well, you did a good job there, Milo, of differentiating between archaeology and actual science. But seriously, you're being crazy with this whole, well, he needs to worry about archaeology. First of all, he's not an archaeologist. He's a radar guy. Second of all, if his findings don't agree with your theory, let's put it this way. Should Henry Ford have to concern himself with all of the businesses of horse breeders all across the country when he made his car? Should he have stopped what he was doing because of that? Look, if Biondi's making a discovery here and it makes archaeologists look stupid, maybe archaeologists should quit being so fucking stupid.
By becoming a stooge of the anti-intellectual administration, he may be scoring a cheap win and some points off the backs of archaeologists, but he's reinforcing anti-science views that will ultimately consume every field of science, including his.
You're nuts, Milo. This is alarmist as hell. Like, assuming that Filippo is being honest in what he's portraying, he is advancing the field by leaps and bounds. The field of synthetic aperture radar is being advanced hugely because of his work. And you've got a problem with that. You're calling that unscientific. According to you and your friends, it's going to destroy the theory of gravity or some shit in the next 15 years. What the fuck is wrong with you?
You guys know the fable of the grasshopper and the ant? There's a grasshopper who spends his whole summer laying in the grass and, you know, playing his fiddle. And his buddies, the ants, spend the entire summer working and building their nest. And the grasshopper asks, well, what are you doing all that for? Look, we could just be having fun. But the ants know what's coming at the end of the summer. And when the snow falls, the ones that survive are the ones that took shit seriously. I don't expect Boyandi to be watching this, and if he does, I don't think he'll care. He'd probably say that I'm being really mean and inconsiderate and shitting on his work. I'm sure he'd come up with a million excuses instead of acknowledging the responsibility that he has in this situation. But Boyandi, in the off chance that you are watching this, Paisan, come on. I want to say that I know you're better than this, but honestly, I don't. Because all that I've seen from you sets this as the fucking bar. But what I will say, man to man, brother to brother, Rossi to Boyandi, is you gotta start doing better than this.
What the fuck does this have to do with anything, Milo? Like I said, he brings this up again, it makes no sense. You smoking the sherm, boy? What the hell, dude? That's for your personal message to Boyandi. He's a real scientist. You're not, and you didn't do any research. You insulted him. You misportrayed the articles that exposed his work to the world. You misportrayed Matt Bell. You didn't even do enough research to find out what kind of scientist he was. I mean, Milo, this was absolutely a joke. This is one of the worst things that I've ever seen anybody call themselves a science educator do. This is on par. You've been learning from Dave Farina, all right? That's pretty clear. Like, you got this less research, more insults equals more money. but it also dumbs down the world. The people that watch you and think you are actually portraying accurate information got stupider watching you. You have a responsibility to your audience, at least you would think that you do. I would like to think that you do, Milo. Me and you have gotten along well in the past, and we both, in a lot of ways, are cut from similar cloth. Dude, think about, I know you're making good money doing this, but fucking think about what you're doing here, all right? You demonized an actual scientist, and maybe he's wrong. Maybe he's completely wrong. But you should at least do the fucking proper research so that when you point out why he's wrong, you have legitimate criticisms instead of just this, I didn't see anything. Anyway, I'm going to be in I'm going to be in Austin, Texas, October 16th through 18th for the Quest for Ancient Civilizations Conference. And we got the Mystery Boys are the newest announced group. That's right. Duncan and Kerp and me. All going to be there. Randall Carlson, David Childress, Billy Carson, and a whole bunch of other people. J.J. Anderson, Hugh Newman. I can't remember everybody's name, and I'm not putting it on my script because, anyway. Come, see me, talk. We will hang out. We will cruise 6th Street and tear it the fuck up, and I promise I won't dress like this. I won't even wear these. This one's kind of nice. I mean, if you're into that sort of thing. Anyway. But a little bit before that, about a week before that, I'm going to be with the Grammarica crew and Randall Carlson once again. This is going to be Lake Chelan up in Washington. This is just a hop, skip, and a jump from me. Come join me up there. And yeah, dude, hang out, drink, smoke. It's going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, thanks so much for watching, and you guys have a great night.
Because when winter comes, and believe me, it fucking will, in the ranks of the ants, there will be no room for grasshoppers. Holy shit, I'm going to have a fucking heat stroke in here.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.